As he does every single week, we're joined by the Minister of Jobs, Economy and Innovation for the province of Alberta, Doug Schweitzer. Welcome back. Always great to have you on. And we knew yesterday you alongside the Premier and your Parliamentary Secretary, Martin Long, were making a significant announcement in terms of the new grant program that's coming up on April 1st. Tell us a little bit about that and how this program is going to work.
So we heard loud and clear from small businesses that further supports were required. So we put out the Enhanced COVID Business Benefit, which provides up to $10,000 to small businesses across Alberta that have been most severely impacted by health orders. So earlier on in 2020, we put up to $20,000 of support. That program is still available for small businesses. They can still apply until the end of March. And then in April, we're giving even more support, so an additional $10,000, but targeted to the businesses that have been impacted the most. Because right now we're going through a four-step reopening, and these would be those businesses like bigger event groups and the tourism industry, the ones that have been really, really impacted that may not be able to recover until later in stage three or four, so later this spring or summer. So for some of those businesses, we want to make sure we gave them further supports that was targeted to them, so they're going to be able to qualify for up to $10,000 additional.
So looking at the threshold of that, when the threshold of the current grant is about is 30%, this one's 60%. So is this a totally new program? And I guess after March 31st, let's say if a business doesn't make that 30% or 60% threshold, I should say, are there still other options for them available?
Well, remember too, the existing relaunch grant of up to $20,000 is still available right now. So if you've got small businesses on the line that haven't applied yet, apply today. Google Biz, B-I-Z, Alberta Connect, and just Google those words. You'll be able to get all the details on supports for that $20,000. Then we're providing an additional $10,000 of support. This is a $120 million program. And I was asked by my colleagues, like, look, if you have $120 million, how could you best allocate that funds to support small businesses? So we went with a targeted approach. Right now we're doing the background, the software, the server stuff to make sure that we can get it done quickly. That'll be alive once the original program expires.
Okay, very interesting. So it will. So that's important to know. Thank you for clearing that up, that the current grant one is still open for those businesses that need it. And basically, I guess I guess this may be an NDP thing, obviously, a partisan statement, I guess, when there's an announcement made, but they say, Darren Bill is your critic, it says that small businesses are paying for the price, continued gains by this government, and needs to find ways to get business and direct support today. But I think you just kind of mentioned that in terms of that grant application is still open.
That's correct. Yeah, businesses can apply right now. The average turnaround time is 10 days, and it goes direct deposit to businesses. So it's meant to be easy on the paperwork, it's very quick to fill out, and you want to be there to support businesses across Alberta.
And the one thing I think that's good about that, and I remember we were talking about the time of turnaround, and you had said it on average from when someone submits an application to when they receive their money is approximately 10 days, and I think for government that's pretty good, isn't it?
That's about as quick as we can do it. We want to make sure we avoid the situation like the federal government where they started sending money to high school kids. So we have to make sure you have that back-end support. So when we stand these things up, even to do the most basic change, it takes 3 to 4 weeks because you have to do all the controls. You have to be able to audit the system. So we're doing this new program that we're doing should take us about 6 to 8 weeks to stand up. It'll be ready, though, when the current program expires.
And I also got to add this, too, because in terms of businesses, you did mention them, some of the ones that qualify, specifically the tourism and entertainment industries. What are some of the other businesses that you and your colleagues thought about or heard from when you were putting this new program together, this bigger $120 million program?
So we heard directly from gym owners, people in dance studios. Some of these businesses have pretty much been shuttered for about a year. So we really want to make sure that they have the ability to get the supports that they need. Also, we're designing this program as well to deal with gaps in the federal program. So there's federal supports, there's federal rent supports, there's federal wage supports that are out there, but certain businesses have kind of fallen through the cracks. And the way that we've designed this program is to help make sure we target the funds towards those businesses that have been impacted the most.
Minister, we see, it's February 18th today. 10 days from today, I think, is when we look, is when Cabinet convenes to talk about possibly moving on to step two as the numbers continue to drop a little bit. They're kind of like hanging around that 360, 370 area in terms of hospitalizations. But as a government, are you encouraged to see these numbers going down and the possibility that at least that based on the numbers that step two or the possibility of it could be just around the corner?
Well, you know what? I just want to say thank you to Albertans everywhere. Remember earlier on, we were looking at 2,000 cases a day. Our hospitalizations went from about 100 up to over 1,000 people in hospital. And now our hospitalizations are sitting about in the mid-300s. Our new cases per day are below 300 or around 300. So you know what? Thank you to Albertans that are out there. They've done everything that we've asked them to do. They've taken those steps. Our small businesses, you know, they've stepped up. Everybody's, you know, respected those health orders across our province. So huge thank you to them. And yeah, you know what? We're going to be looking at, you know, step two here in the reopening. There's going to be some decisions are going to be made around that in the next week or so, and we're going to make sure we get the public notice on that front.
All right, excellent. And I got to ask you this, Minister, because I know for me, being able to sit down in a restaurant with one cohort that I know and be able to eat with them across the table last Thursday, that was something that was great. Have you personally had a chance, you or the family, to get out and enjoy some in-person dining?
You know what? It's been nice. Yeah, just to be able to get some food, get out there, you know, go to a coffee shop. It's just been nice. And it's a little bit of normalcy for the family, right? And
Amen.
You know, everybody needs that. I can see it in my kids too. They're just like, hey, Dad, you know, when are we going to be able to do, you know, visit our friends? Or hey, when are we going to be able to, you know, go and swim and all these things. I hear it. Like I with people out there that you know, want us to move faster. We're moving as responsibly as we can to open this stuff up. You know what, we're heading in the right direction. We got to make sure there are variants out there that we have to monitor that can be more transmissible. So when we open, we want to make sure we don't have a yo-yo where all of a sudden we have to, you know, pull back. So everybody's done all the right things. We're going to make some decisions here in the next little bit on next steps.
I know people sometimes around here like to use the term lockdown, which is a very loaded term. And I got to say this, talking to my father in Montreal, they had a curfew out in Quebec. It's lifted now, but there was a curfew that said you cannot be off your property by 8 p.m. at night from 8 p.m. to 5 a.m. the next day. Alberta never did that. So at the end of the day, there's got to be some credit, I think, given here in terms of keeping things probably more open than a lot of other jurisdictions, even within Canada, did.
You know, I think that credit goes to just the Alberta people. Like, when you take a look at our culture, like, we are a compliance culture. Like, the oil and gas industry is all about safety. You know, the farming industry, you know, there's risk every time you go there and farm. Big machinery, it's all about safety. It's just built into our way of life, and particularly in our rural communities as well. Like, you know, we look out for each other. We take care of each other. When somebody is pulled over, and you want to make sure you're concerned about them. And it's built into our culture to take care of each other. And I don't know if it's, you know, just an Alberta thing, but we've seen some really good response to health orders. We haven't had to go as far as Quebec or Ontario with health measures, and we've gotten better results in the cases coming down. So I just think it's hats off to the Alberta people for what they've done.
Amen to that. Also, as well, now as we kind of move over on the baseball and football side of things, Doug, we got to talk about the San Diego Padres now, because as you mentioned, we were talking before, they locked down Fernando Tatis Jr., 14 years, and also already they'd couple of years previous, given a deal to Manny Machado as well. Like, it looks like that they have a core that they really like in San Diego, and they're really wanting to lock this core down.
You know what? The San Diego Padres are trying to take a run at the Dodgers. The two best teams might be in the National League West, just sitting there battling it out. I can't wait to see those series between the Dodgers and the Padres. Those teams look stacked. You know, Tatis Jr., that's a pretty smart investment. I mean, injuries, you never know how that stuff can go potentially. He's still a young guy, but they've locked him up for 14 years. I think at the end of that contract, they're going to look back and think that was money well spent. But, you know, here's one thing to think about. Vladimir Guerrero Jr. on the Toronto Blue Jays was ranked ahead of Fernando Tatis Jr. as a prospect. It's time for Vladdy to step up. Vladdy's now seeing that guy over there who he was ranked ahead of just signed a deal for $340 million. But I think that Vladdy Guerrero Jr., if he doesn't have a fire lit under him this year, I don't think he ever turns it on.
No, no doubt about that. I mean, at some point, you know, you got to – but you know what? Maybe this is me being a little bit of devil's advocate here. But do you think that the constant back and forth – I mean, you don't know what ballparks you're going to be playing in, and essentially spending a good chunk of last year more or less entirely on the road. They weren't even in Toronto and even starting it the same way. Do you think that that gets inside a player's head or just go out there and play?
I think you just got to go out there and play. The really good ones, I think that they find a way to be successful, and I think now this is going to be a make-or-break year for them.
Yeah, no doubt about that. And finally, we got to touch on this one, too. You know, there's a few quarterbacks available in the NFL, and the first, the second domino, I will say. I never thought that Goff and Stafford were available to begin with, but alas, they didn't make it. They were traded for each other and plus. But in terms of Carson Wentz, I mean, all Philadelphia got in return for him was, a third round pick. And yeah, we were talking about the contract being a lot, but he's reuniting with the his offensive coordinator, Frank Reich, the head coach. This could be one of the probably the more underrated but more important moves this offseason, can't it?
Well, you know what? Look at Indianapolis. I mean, they found a way to kind of backfill quarterbacks, I think, better than any other club out there. They brought in Phillip Rivers. He'd had a pretty good productive year. Now they're bringing in Carson Wentz. Smart moves by the Colts there. Like, I think that, and you know what? Taking on that contract with Carson Wentz, I think he needed a change of environment. I think he's going to have a really productive year next year.
That should be very, very interesting, as still lots of other quarterbacks need to find a home. Minister, we always appreciate the time. Thanks for checking in with us.
Appreciate it. Thanks for having me on.
This is Doug Schweitzer. He is the Minister of Jobs, Economy, Innovation, also our Baseball Sports Insider, and this is another edition of The Hot Seat.